This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline as we gear up for Sunday Night Football between the Ravens and the Bills. Before we do that, I want to let you know you can let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I wonder how you feel about it. We were kind of joking earlier in the show that, you know, it's Bills Ravens this week, and the Ravens have this all black uniform set they're going with, and they call a game like this, they call it Darkness Falls, and their record in prime time is very good, 20-3. And I kind of said to Joe, I feel like the Ravens are cool, and they've always kind of been a cool franchise, you know, whether you like the players or not. They've got a good vibe going on over there, and I wonder if you think that about them, or if there's any team or franchise you've always felt like kind of just something about him is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is one of them for sure. I've always admired also just how they run their organization, the level of success they've had, the consistency they've had. They've had one coach for a long time. I think Harbaugh and Tomlin the same year maybe they come in?
I think that's
maybe,
right,
they're
yeah.
the longest tenured coaches, right, in the NFL right now. You know, but they've always been able to draft well, maintain a certain standard of play. It's not always been perfect, obviously. And yeah, of course, but you really go back to the Ray Lewis days and those defenses. That's kind of their hallmark, their calling card. And I mean, they went a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer at quarterback, right? And then Rex Ryan comes in, and boy, that even ratchets up even more with some of the incredible defenses they've had. And it just makes it even more of what you're talking about here with the aura of them wearing the black uniforms and how great they were for many years in prime time at night. And they still have a really great record, but they were just unbeatable, you know, in that situation. So I do. I mean, I think that they have that aura about them, but I think the luster's been off a little bit recently because of some of the playoff failures and starting off here 0-2. And, you know, the Bills have a chance to go there and take it off even more.
Yeah, I got a tweet from Brian. This is an interesting point, just like the timelines. Brian wrote in, do the Ravens seem cool in our minds? Because before Lamar, they were the team that challenged the Patriots, right? They went toe-to-toe with New England a couple times. And, you know, for Bills fans just rooting against Baltimore or rooting against New England, it probably ended up rooting for Baltimore quite a bit in the playoffs. A game in Foxborough, I can remember, Gillette, where Lee Evans had one, he got one through his hands. And anyway, this year's Ravens team, you know, 1-2, Sal, McDermott called Derrick Henry a marriage made in heaven as part of this offense. And they've kind of recommitted to the rushing identity that they wanted, that they abandoned in the AFC Championship game and ran all over the Cowboys in the same way that the Bills did last year.
Yeah, they can run the ball. We know that. But I also want to kind of temper that by just the fact that, yeah, they played Dallas, and Dallas is so bad at stopping the run, and they play a lot of more, they play some lighter boxes. But, you know, make no mistake, they can run the ball, and they're very good at it. And, you know, like Sean McDermott said yesterday, it's kind of the perfect marriage of, you know, Derrick Henry with what they want to do. He's a great fit. And sure enough, that's the case, right? I mean, here's this guy that's just such a big bruising back. And what do we know about the Ravens over the last, you know, several years? They just really want to run the ball. And who's their offensive? What do they have as their offensive coordinator? They had Greg Roman as their offensive coordinator, and you always try to do it that way. Now they've changed there, but they still have this identity where they want to run the ball. And they also have, by the way, the reigning MVP who can really throw the ball. The knock on them has been what? Wide receivers. They haven't been able to really, they're the anti, you know, Steelers, right? The Steelers in the same division. Steelers get all these really good wide receivers, but they can't seem to figure out, you know, how to win with them necessarily. Here are the Ravens, who really win a lot, but don't have those great wide receivers, but yet have their MVP quarterback. They just haven't figured that part out. And here we go again with another season, and them, they're the top running team in the NFL, guys. They're averaging over close to 5.9 yards a carry. That's number one in the league. They're number two, I think, by overall yards per game. Yeah. Number one yards per play. They don't have incredible passing stats. You know, part of that is the league is down, but ranking-wise even. But also part of that is because they're leaning on the run game so much. So you don't have to throw the ball as much.
That's what's so hard to figure out, too, about them right now, Sal, because there are some numbers on, like, the Ravens in the last 3 years, I think, have blown more double-digit leads than any team in the league. And they signed Derrick Henry probably thinking, all right, this has been a problem for us putting games away. Let's sign Derrick Henry and do it. And like you just said, their numbers rushing are great. And yet I've got back-to-back weeks where they blew a double-digit lead to the Raiders and they almost blew a 22-point lead to the Cowboys. Like, I don't even really know how they're getting to that point where they're almost blowing these big leads.
I don't either. I think it's because maybe they are running the ball and they're trying to just... I reading some of their media, there's I don't know if it's perception or reality that they're trying to close out the game and just kind of, you know, use the clock, right? And
Well,
the other team is, hey, we're going to stop you from doing that, and then they're getting the ball back. So they have a couple 3-and-outs or whatever, and, you know, maybe it's philosophy like that. So, but there is something going on in Baltimore where a lot of, you know, fans and media are like, hey, you know, they haven't been able to hold leads, so, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening. And what, look, guys, it's kind of been a thing with them over the last few years. It was the last time the Bills played down there. 2 years ago, the Bills play in Baltimore, as you remember, bit of a rainy day, rainy game, and the Bills were down, I think, 10 and came back and won that game in the fourth quarter.
Right, exactly. It was basically the same situation. I do think, though, like this matchup, Sal, looking at the injury reports to start here, the Ravens having three starting offensive linemen injured, like pass blocking has looked like a struggle for them through a couple of games, and their line was a question mark coming into the year. And now they've got injuries on top of it. And the way the Bills' D-line has looked, I'm just really thinking about that being a massive strength of the Bills going in this game.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest advantage the Bills will have, right? Which is their D-line against the Ravens' offensive line, which already, even before their injuries, by the way, was an offensive line that had a lot of question marks. They had a lot of turnover this season. I remember after the first week, and especially after the second, there was a lot of talk about people not making enough about their changes on the offensive line and how much that might hurt them. Now, let's talk about these injuries real quick. Center Tyler Linderbaum did not practice with a knee injury. Tackle Patrick McCarry did not practice with a neck injury. And guard Andrew Voorhees did not practice with an ankle injury. They all, however, did play the entire game on Sunday. So that tells me it could just be, hey, these guys are dealing with things. We're going to lay off them. They'll be back at practice today. Something to monitor, obviously. But the fact that they did not practice on a Wednesday does mean they're banged up, does mean they're dealing with something. So let's see today what happens. You know, my sense is just looking at that and knowing how it generally works, by the time Sunday comes, they're going to play. But obviously, it's something to monitor here. And that's a massive, the three guys, three starters. And then Roquan Smith is dealing with an ankle injury. He was limited yesterday. And their starting nose tackle didn't practice yesterday, who's a nice player, Michael Pierce, with a shoulder injury. The Bills are a little bit banged up. We know Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson will not play. That's already been declared. Kyrie Elam, as you mentioned in the update, dealing with a neck injury. So we'll see where that goes throughout the week. Otherwise, really nothing of note on the Bills side other than Josh Allen's still listed on the injury report. He's a full participant with the left hand. So I wonder if that means, you know, we'll find out today if he's still wearing the glove and had the fingers taped.
That's the Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, on those, I think the biggest injury news is the guys that will not play. We know they're ruled out, but progress, right, for Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson.
Yeah, that's right, Jeremy. I mean, even though obviously you'd love to have those guys, maybe it's more of a positive update on them than anything, even though they're not playing. And that is that both Johnson and Bernard, Sean McDermott said, could do a little bit more this week. So we'll see. Are they going to be out of practice today doing something off to the side? We'll see a little bit later today. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But what he did was, and Sean was really interesting, and McDermott rarely gives timelines, but he did say they thought it was a, like, in the 2.5 to 4 week injury range for both, which is why they didn't go on injured reserve. Now, I want to also tell everybody, listen, if, of course, the ideal scenario is you don't put them on injured reserve because you don't think they're going to miss four games. But let's just say, for example, one of them, let's say Taron Johnson here, this will be his third game missed. Let's say he does miss four games. Let's say he doesn't come back even next week. I know a lot of fans will be like, well, why the heck didn't they put him on injured reserve? Well, you don't really have to. You do have flexibility on the roster. You can elevate guys if you need them. You don't have to put a player on injured reserve. One of the reasons why you wouldn't do it is because the Bills only have six of those IR designated to return remaining guys. They already used two of them on Matt Milano and Darrington Evans. So if you think it's close, you may say, look, let's not use up one of those in case we really need a few more later in the year. And if he's out 4 weeks, no, you don't want it. You think he can come back. But if he's out 4 weeks, we can still get by. And so far, they've gotten by on their roster. They haven't even really had to elevate anybody as a defensive back. So they've been okay there. It just becomes an inactive situation like it is with other players around the roster. So while it's ideal to, it's not ideal, I should say, to have them miss four games when you didn't put them on IR, there still is a possibility that could happen.
So with regard to this atmosphere, we're talking about that, the darkness falls, the primetime Baltimore. I don't want to like take a shot at Miami here, but the Bills have played two home games and one in Miami where they get a good number of fans, right? How would you compare Baltimore as a road test versus Miami as a road test? What I'm getting at is, will they practice with tons of crowd noise this week where maybe Miami weeks they don't? I don't know one way or the other.
They always do.
Okay.
Always do.
But is this a different
home,
is this a different animal
than home
Miami?
Games, I think. In home games, I think they do a little bit. They'll always, yeah, it's a different atmosphere. Look, I mean, I've been at Miami when it's gotten a little bit louder, you know, but usually it's not the case, and there's a lot of Bills fans there. Baltimore can get pretty loud too, but you know, it's not one of these stadiums and the way it's designed and teams where, you know, throughout the game it's just full throttle like it is here in Buffalo generally. But they can get pretty loud. The Bills have faced some tough road environments. Look, I mean, Kansas City's probably the loudest place the Bills face, you know, when they go on the road. And they've handled that obviously very well offensively. And sometimes, now look, the disadvantages, obviously, you know, you have to have silent counts. The other team can jump the snap count. You can't do as much maybe that you want to do when you're at the line of scrimmage because it's a little bit tougher. But the Bills have been able to handle that stuff pretty well over the years. We know that they played well offensively in Kansas City in louder environments, even in Baltimore going there to win. Philadelphia last year, a little bit louder environment. It was a little bit rainy, but they've done pretty well. It's not Miami, but it's not one of these stadiums where I say, oh my God, it's going to be incredible. This week might be a little bit more like that because they have a night game. The darkness falls. The fans are going to be ramped up. I believe they're honoring Mark Ingram before the game, and I believe they're bringing back some Olympians who are from the area to honor them. So they're kind of doing a lot of this stuff to, you know, really get the crowd going before the game. And I believe I read they want the fans in the stands and in their seats by 8 p.m. for, you know, the pregame stuff.
Does this mean like Michael Phelps is going to be there? Right? Isn't he from that area?
I think Katie Ledecky is too. Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, I think, though, I thought I read that it was going to be the some of the track and field, so I'm not really sure exactly who. I don't know if they are specifically, but I believe some of the track and field athletes.
Okay. You know, Sal, like, thinking about the road atmosphere, the test here for the Bills, it's also a spot where, and the Bills, this is nothing new to Josh Allen or Sean McDermott. Right now, the Bills are one of the teams that's the talk of the league. I know it's not, you know, you're beating the Super Bowl champs, but a win over the Bills would be scoring a big win in the standings. And also, you know, if you beat the Bills right now, I feel like any team that does that is going to feel like, all right, especially Baltimore here, you know, you don't want to go to 1-3. If they get to 2-2 with a win over the Bills, that's going to feel like they pulled their season back and, you know, they're right where they need to be.
Oh my gosh, for sure, right? I mean, think about if the Bills were in that situation and what we'd be talking about here and saying, okay, look, you win this game, you're back on track. You had a couple down games to start the year, and now you're back to where you need to be. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure that they're feeling that in Baltimore. I'm sure the fans are feeling that and thinking about it that way. you know, what is it in Buffalo? If you happen to lose this game, I think there's a little bit of, okay, you got two more really tough road games coming up, Houston and the Jets. Like, you better get the next one, or you're staring at possible 3-3, right? I mean, that could be the case too. If you win this game as a Buffalo Bills fan, thinking, all right, I mean, you already got through this 4-0. Even if people said 4-2 for the first six, so you've given yourself such a buffer. So I do think it represents a lot, you know, for both these teams, and like, they'll be ready. They're well coached with John Harbaugh. They have the reigning MVP. And the other thing about this game, guys, is weather could play a factor. It's going to rain all weekend. I think there's some of the stuff that's coming up from the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes not headed that way, but I think some of the system that's pushing through with it is going to head that way down to the East Coast. And I think it's going to be pretty rainy. It doesn't mean it's going to be rain for the game, but I think there's a pretty good chance that that's the case.
Sal, one big thing that happened yesterday, Josh Allen talking about the receiver conversation, and he's asked the question about, you know, how spreading the ball around, and he makes a point to steer the conversation so that it wouldn't get misunderstood, because after what he said on Monday night, you know, there's a lot of, was he taking a shot at Stephon Diggs? I saw it on ESPN. I saw it at Pro Football Talk. It was interesting to me that Allen made a point and then said, You know what I'm talking about. He was basically acknowledging, I see what you're taking from my comments, and I want to make sure that you take what I want from these comments.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. He wasn't asked about Stephon Diggs specifically, but basically, what did you mean by it, right? And I believe Matt Parrino asked him that. And Josh kind of, like you said, volunteered that, steered that there. Look, we know these guys always say, these athletes always say, we don't pay attention to what people are saying. But they know what people are saying, right? It's the same thing when Josh says, there's a video of Mr. Brightside going around, a viral video. Like, they know that. They see that stuff's happening. And what's really interesting to me here is, what's funny, guys, is for all of the media trying to start stuff, oh my gosh, you guys in Buffalo, nobody in Buffalo is really talking about that over the last 48 hours. Matt Bove made this point last night on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We did an episode, and I invite everybody. We had a good discussion about this, so people can go and download and listen to that Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. And Matt made a good point. He said, it wasn't even coming from here. It was only coming from the national people who are out on the outside looking in, really. There may have been a person here or there in Buffalo, but really, when Josh said it, there was not a lot of commentary from here, us, this radio station, whoever, print, whatever, in Buffalo saying, oh, is he talking about Stephon Diggs? It was coming, as you said, Jeremy, from the ESPN talking heads and the FS1 talking heads and making something about it. So Josh kind of squashed that a little bit. Hey, I love 14. You know that. Josh was making a point that I'm just talking in general about, you know, how we're feeling and what we're doing here and what we're trying to build and how good that feels to be able to have, you know, this group that always just plays for each other, pulls for each other, doesn't care about stats. It is a general statement that a lot of people make all the time.
Yep.
I understand. By the way, I don't blame anybody for going there and thinking that. I get it. Like, I understand. Like, with all the stuff that's happened for the past few years, I think it's natural to think something like that. But as you said, you know, Josh kind of made a point to make sure that, you know, that wasn't the case. That's not what he's trying to say at all.
Well, I think, you know, for sure, anybody that wants to have that grudge or have that be part of their story, that's totally fine. It's in bounds. It's sports. It's what we do. I think what Allen was trying to say, or at least what I take from it, part of it is, like, our entire existence is not a revenge tour. You know, like, we're just, We're playing a game here. We're trying to be the best we can be. And, you know, the Bills are celebrating the identity. Whether a lot of coaches will do this, what they're getting out of this mindset, Sal, is buy-in from some guys that might not be getting the glory, like a Mac Hollins, who's going to be on the field and, you know, making big plays in a blocking role or whatever. Like, it's just a way for this offense to try and get buy-in from everybody, which is pretty standard around the league, that, you know, these teams will try to find ways to get everybody to buy in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of what the Bills have tried to build and wanted to build and pretty much have had for the last 8 years. And, you know, I've always said this team, in a lot of ways, obviously outside of the quarterback situation, but just kind of the way they went about their business, what people thought about them, the way they're playing, reminds me a lot of 2017, guys, when it's just, hey, it's us, right? Everybody thinks that we're going to stink. We're building this team where if we play for one another and we have this good culture and, you know, we don't care about, you know, how we get there, at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be fine. And that's what's happened here. And of course, there's a lot of differences, but this team did remind me going into the year of 2017. And so far, you know, 3-0 and playing pretty well. So it was interesting that Josh said that yesterday. And like I said, I mean, here's the other thing. They do play the Texans next week, right? And like, I'm sure everybody knows that. Not that Josh is speaking because of that. That's going to be a storyline. It's going to be a story no matter what next week, no matter what Josh says, no matter what Stefan says. And give Stefan credit. I want to give Stefan credit here, too. Remember a couple weeks ago, he said, you don't have to talk bad about your ex-girlfriend to make your new girlfriend look good, right? And he's kind of steered away from that, too. Anytime he's had a chance, people have thought he's talking about the Bills. There was something he said that people thought he's talking about the Bills. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that, right? So people want to make it, for Stefan's credit, he also did the same thing. You know what's going to happen next week, guys? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I said this last night in the podcast. On Sunday next week, they're going to go to Houston, and we're all going to be waiting to see Josh walk on the field and see Stefan beforehand. They're going to go to midfield, and they're going to give a bro hug to each other, and they're going to laugh, and they're going to talk, and the videos are going to go viral, just like it was with Gabe Davis this week, and then they're going to go play football. That's what's going to happen next week.
Do you also agree, not to move ahead a week, that I think the Bills will be trying to get under his skin in that game?
You know, you said, so jump in real quick, you said that yesterday, that the Bills will be trying to get under his skin, like just for the on-field purposes.
On-field, because he fought...
I didn't say that.
Jeremy did.
Jeremy did. He fought them in practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's going to be fiery, and
but
whatever.
After the show, too, I thought, like, I wonder, I saw Taron Johnson, like, not practicing. I'm like, I wonder if they're holding him out because they know he's covering Diggs one-on-one, and they want to make sure he's 100% healthy for next week.
Well, a couple things on this. Number one, I totally understand that thought, Joe, but I don't think so. I think that if Taron Johnson was healthy, he'd be playing.
Okay.
And if he's not healthy next week, he's not playing. They're not gonna make it based on that. They're not gonna make it based on what the schedule looks like or who they're playing. Yes, I do think though, but I don't think that's abnormal, right? I mean, like, if that's how you beat your opponent, that's what you do. And when you say those guys get under their skin, I'm just thinking of certain players. Look, I mean, Rasul Douglas, the first that pass that went to Gabe Davis that Gabe had out of bounds, Rasul let him know about it right away.
The finger wag.
Right?
Yeah.
The finger, right? I mean, like, that's what you do. I mean, that's part of playing sports. It doesn't matter if it's Gabe Davis, Stefon Diggs, or somebody, Garrett Wilson, anybody. Like, if you think that can help you get an advantage with your opponent, and absolutely, look, I mean, Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas for a half a year, Kyer Elam, when they went at it. Like, these guys know, they went against him. They're going to know some things that, you know, might get him a little bit riled up, might get under his skin a little bit. And that's what you do. There's no doubt about it. So, absolutely, I would think that that's the case. But I think that goes, you know, with just playing in sports and knowing your opponent very well. By the way, I looked it up, guys. Here we go. Mark Ingram will be the Ravens' legend of the game Sunday night. They will also be recognizing Olympic gold medalist Quincy Wilson from the 4x4, Masai Russell from the 100-meter hurdles, as well as WWE superstar Seth Rollins and Wizards guard Bob Carrington on Sunday night.
I got Seth Rollins. We're gonna need somebody.
You said Wizards legend, and I was like, for half a second, thought, oh, is it going to be Michael Jordan? It's going to be no, not Michael Jordan. Okay,
Wizards guard. They did not write legend from what I wrote about
all
that.
Right. Seth Rollins, thank you for that, Sal, because that's going to tie in perfect. Yeah. I have a Let's Get Stupid to bring up next segment. I told you I want to do a Let's Get Stupid about this game, and Seth Rollins is going to tie into it perfectly. So stay tuned, everybody. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio, as we gear up for Bills, Ravens, a Darkness Falls game, a matchup of last year's MVP and this year's MVP. Knock on wood, maybe. You know, probably. Looks that way. That's a little bit of the theme of Let's Get Stupid. If you want to hang out and listen to us talk about something ridiculous, that's coming up next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
My good buddy Josh, who's playing at MVP level, and I think I've told him every year he comes to my flag football event, you know, he's going to win MVP in this league. I mean, he's that talented. He's an incredible player. But if you watched him last night, you know, number one, he slid a couple times, which is smart. Number two, it's just like with Jaden. Winning football is playing from the pocket. And then when it breaks down, every now and then you got to make a few plays outside off schedule. And Josh has been a master at that for the last few years.
Aaron Rodgers on Josh Allen.
All right, Aaron. The first thing we mentioned about him being an MVP level player right now is that he slid.
Hey, I noticed. Right,
fine.
I noticed that he slid. I thought it was a good moment in the game on Monday night. Jeremy and Joe. All right, I've got a Let's Get Stupid for you in a minute. But first, like listening to Rodgers there talk about Allen versus Jaden Daniels, and you know when plays break down and all this, like the level that Allen's playing at, pretty great. It's you know, we watched it on Monday night. He's at the top of his game. The command of the offense is just off the charts. So, Baltimore next. The Ravens have given up more explosive pass plays than any other team.
Yeah.
So, I fully expect the Bills to have some explosive pass plays.
And they have this weird thing that I still ask Sal about. Like, he didn't have a great answer, Corey. I don't know if there is one. I don't think there is. I don't have one. Why do they always give up big leads?
The Ravens.
Why? They're good running. Their defense is supposed to be great. And they blew a 10-point lead to the Raiders at home.
They almost lost to the Cowboys.
They almost lost up 22 to the Cowboys. They already had the most blown double-digit leads in the league the last couple years. Keep in mind, part of that probably is a little bit that they have the lead a lot, right? The Raiders would never lead the league in that stat because they never have double-digit leads.
But, I mean, the Bills had the lead a lot. When's their last blown double-digit lead?
Okay, right, so it would be them compared to the other good teams.
Yeah, is the Bills' last blown double-digit lead, like, is it the Minnesota game?
Was that even double-digit?
I don't know. The Ravens do it enough where it's a thing, and I can't even think of when the Bills blew a double-digit. I mean, the Houston playoff game, they blew a double-digit lead.
Yeah, but that's 5 years ago, though.
Yeah.
So why the Bills did it to them 2 years ago? Why do they do it? They just turned off do they try to control the clock? That's what Sal's point was.
Yeah.
Maybe that is it. Maybe they tried to bleed the clock. They get too cute with it, and they let teams back in by playing conservative. I don't know.
Yeah. 803-0550. The Bills are underdogs in this game, which is kind of fun.
2.5 points too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bet the Bills in this game?
I would bet the Bills outright in this game. I mean,
yeah.
I don't have to bet it. I think the Bills are going to win. Yeah, I think the Bills are going to win.
Dude, you've been on this about the defensive line, especially. If the Ravens' offensive line is banged up and already isn't that good, Lamar can run, which makes that different than if Tua was back there or if even Lawrence was back there. But, I mean, aren't they going to be in his face all night?
Yeah.
Like, all night, I think the Bills are going to be beating that offensive line.
Look what they did to Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he was seeing ghosts. And, yeah. I mean, I just think the Bills are going to win. All right, you want to Let's Get Stupid?
Yeah, what do we got?
All right. Let's Get Stupid. The idea is, it's an MVP game, right?
Okay.
There's Rodgers talking about it. Josh Allen's this year's MVP. Lamar's last year's MVP. This is from the same... I'm going to go on a tangent here, Joe. I have this idea that Best Picture should not be a yearly award, but it should be something that's always like it's a title. It's a belt. What's the best picture? Like Titanic. And nothing's a better picture until something beats that Best Picture. I don't want one every year. I want to know what's the best picture. I want to do this with MVP too. MVP is no longer a yearly award. It's now a title. And
it's a belt like in the WWE.
Yes, it's a belt.
Because in WWE, like you just have the belt until someone takes it from
someone
you.
Beats you, and then that guy's the MVP.
So you could have it for a day, or you could have it for a year.
Now this is imperfect because the Ravens lost to the Chiefs. Would that mean Mahomes gets it back? It's not. I don't want it to move all the time, every day.
Yeah.
But how could we do it? Let's get stupid. How can we make it where the MVP is not a yearly award, but it's a title?
Do it like the offensive and defensive players of the week. If you had a good performance that week, you get put into like a group, that group gets selected.
I don't want a week. I want it to have the credibility of Sidney Crosby's the MVP of the NHL for 6 years and 4 months until everyone decides, you know what? I think we're going to give it to somebody else now.
So you would have to have, on some regularity, people together that you trust enough to not just willy-nilly, like, oh, let's just give it to this guy now. Right. Let's give it to this guy. But you'd have to have them vote on it every once in a while. So what, like, every month?
I'm looking for anything where an actual trophy or... Think about the Masters with a green jacket, like, or the Tour de France where the leader has a yellow jersey. What I want is the Bills to beat the Ravens and Lamar to have to give Allen the MVP belt.
Right.
Like, that's how do we get to that?
What if there's a level of like requirements, right? Like, you, if it's, you have to have a certain amount of weeks of a peak performance and so you don't have just one guy going off 1 week and then being like, yeah, that's the MVP of the week. Because then that's what it turns into, is an MVP of the week.
Right. I don't want it to just change hands on one bad week. But if the Bills are 4-0 and the Ravens are 1-3, like, oh, the claws kicked in. He's got to give it up.
Here's what you could do. We'll make you the head of a committee that votes on who this is going to be. And you decide when we're calling a meeting. There's nothing on the books, but Allen had his first 3 weeks. If he goes out on, well, maybe after beating the Jaguars, you call a meeting.
Yeah.
You call the committee together. It's like breaking news from Schefter. The MVP committee is getting together on Wednesday to decide if Jackson has to give the belt to Allen.
They've decided it is, in fact, a title match.
Right. Right. Exactly.
They could do it like the GM football. Of it. They could do it like college football power rankings, where it's like the strength of your victories. If you've beaten teams that are bad, it doesn't go very well for your MVP ranking. But if you've beaten like the equivalent of Alabama and you are UB, then your rankings go way up.
What would you want? Would you want that, like a running, like they do this in the UFC, right? They rank them. Like the UFC just ranks them. They have, you have your belt holder and you have to beat the belt holder, but then it's subjective. But after that, what will the UFC do? Well, there's a number one contender, and then there's, this guy's number two in lightweight and this guy's number three. So you have a ranking list. You kind of know who's like right after.
Yeah, basically,
but there's a belt holder you have to beat to take it from him.
The goal of this Let's Get Stupid is to remove the MVP from some sort of voting award show and have it be much more of a, if Tyler Bass makes this 37-yard kick, your guy's the MVP.
Right. I think really what this is you just want belts in sports.
Yeah.
You want the Thanksgiving belt, right?
That's right. Definitely.
I like this one. Belt that changes hands. But see, if they had done this before, would Lamar have it right now? Or would Mahomes just have it?
That's a great question.
For 5 years.
That very possible. He could just still have it. Although right now...
Like this would not be as fun because if you had this system in the NBA, LeBron probably would have just had it for the last 20 years.
Right, that's probably true.
Which, like, hey, there's a record-breaking this and that, and when it changes hands, it'd be more rare. So actually, it might be better because... LeBron's the record is the belt holder for 20 years. And then Jokic or Giannis, somebody takes it from him after 20 years. Well, it's a momentous day because we don't see this day all the time.
Right.
Once every 20 years, we might get it. McDavid has it right now. We're not going to have a new belt holder for 15 years, maybe.
803-0550. This has been Let's Get Stupid.
Oh. ESPN just put a stat up. Daniel Jones 1-12 in his career in primetime games.
I'm pretty sure the Giants' last 12 against the Cowboys is the same. It's like 11 of 12 losses to Dallas.
Okay.
And
he's 1-12 on primetime games.
Yeah. This is where the Cowboys get right. Right? Don't they all? Last year, didn't Dallas beat him by 40? 40 to nothing?
At the opener, right?
Yeah,
the opening like Sunday Night Football, because I remember turning the game off in like the second quarter.
Yeah, and
because it was out of hand.
Better or for worse, how different is this Dallas team? Not that different. And the Giants have Malik Nabers now. That's pretty much the difference. Like, Nabers could be a factor, I guess, if they throw him 30 passes.
Well, it might be a big game for them then, because they're in turmoil right now, and this is their Dolphins. Right.
If you can't beat the Giants, you're fired. It's pretty much how it's going to go.
I think so. Like, this is the team you always roll. You always beat them. Everyone's saying that you're not right. So if you go and lose to the team that you always beat, then, I mean, McCarthy It's gotta go. In real trouble. Yeah, look at listen to the last scores of the last two games. The Cowboys have beaten the Giants 89-17. Two games.
Yeah.
They won 49-17 and 40-0 last year, which is pretty incredible. I don't know that you said there's not a lot different about them. They, though, had two big problems that they did not fix. Stopping the run and running the ball themselves. Like, they cannot run the ball themselves right now. Their running backs stink. Next-gen stats, I saw yards over expected. They're already, like, negative 100 or something, like, as a group. And they can't, they're historically bad at stopping the run. So they're kind of a soft team, if you will.
Yeah.
And they might cook them this year. So I don't know if they are the same team. Maybe the league has figured out, like, oh, the way to beat them is you just run it down their throats and they are not going to do anything to stop you. Bills figured that out last year.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Coming up at 8:30, we'll talk with Luke Jones in Baltimore about the Ravens as we gear up for Sunday Night Football.
Hey, join me this Saturday. I'll be at Consumers Beverages, 7105 Niagara Falls Boulevard in Amherst for a Heineken Silver event. 12-2 on Saturday. Stop by, register for a chance to win autographed football memorabilia. We'll have some other giveaways from WGR. No purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday at Consumers Beverages in Amherst.
Cowboys and Giants.
We were just talking about, in the break, Patrick Mahomes in fantasy recently. And you could even just point it, like, compare it to Allen. Mahomes has a streak going right now of he has not scored more than 21 fantasy points, which would be more of like a standard format, since I think it's week seven of last year. And when is the last time you watched a Chiefs game and it looked like the Bills game on Monday?
It's been a while.
Where just, it's like, everyone on Twitter is, guys, can you believe this? Right? Like, they look... No one stopped. This looks unbelievable. Every drive's a touchdown. They look like you're just never going to stop them.
Yeah,
when's the last time the Chiefs looked like that?
I live in the fear of that all the time, but it's been a while. He has 5 touchdowns and 4 picks this year.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you go to last year's playoffs, at no point in last year's playoffs did they look like that team.
No. They never scored more than, what, 20? The 27 against the Bills was the most they had.
Yep.
And we know they struggled offensively down the stretch. There was like a Chicago game really early last year, right? Where they were dominant, but yep. But I'm talking September of, I'm talking a full calendar year ago.
Well, how long has it been since he had more than 2 touchdowns without a pick? Right? Allen has had multiple games like that.
Yep.
Going back to last year, you mentioned they lost to Denver. He was no touchdowns, 2 picks. And then since then, here's the touchdown to pick numbers: 2-0, 2-1, 2-0, 1-1, 1-1, 2-2, 1-1, 1-0. That's the end of last year.
Even the playoffs.
1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 2-1. Like, this is a 1-2 touchdown guy.
Wait a minute. When's the last time he threw 3 touchdowns in a football game?
Is it the Charger game in October?
Wow, that's right. How many games is that in a row? Amazing they won the Super Bowl.
It's amazing, really.
They won the Super Bowl. He has not thrown 3 touchdowns in a game since
October 22nd of last year.
I mean, come on.
And that's, I mean, is there a rushing touchdown in there? I mean, you want to go, we should find out. When's the last time he had 3 total touchdowns?
I don't have him having a rushing touchdown.
He does not have 3 total touchdowns in a game since the Charger game on October 22nd.
Wow. All right, see, now in the break, I'm going to have to put a list together of quarterbacks that have 3 touchdowns in a game more recently than Patrick Mahomes.
I'm excited to see that list.
Joe Flacco is going to be on that list. I guarantee you that.
Andy Dalton is going to be on that list.
Andy Dalton is going to be on that list. Yep. Man.
No,
it's infuriating they won the Super Bowl.
It really is infuriating. Yeah.
Their offense is just not what it used to be. So, okay, like... did you see yesterday's reverse AFC power rankings?
I did.
They did put the Chiefs number 1. No, or did they put the Bills number 2? Mike said he would have put the Chiefs number 1.
They put the Bills number 1.
They did put the Bills number 1, though. I know they won the Super Bowl and they're undefeated, but is anybody here to tell me their offense is better than the Bills' offense right now?
No. Well, what happened to them? Their big free agent receiver's out for the year.
The guy they want
is out for the year. Kelce looks like he's not, whatever, not a part of their plan. They don't throw it to him.
He could just be old and shot, though.
That
was going to happen eventually. Well, we all knew it was eventually going to happen.
Did you see some of the Swifties have gotten some tape, and they're showing all the times that Kelce is open that Mahomes is not throwing to him?
The Swifties are doing all 22 film review?
Some.
Come on.
go check the interception he throws in Atlanta, Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
Kelce is not only open in the flat, he puts his arm up and he looks and he watches the ball go into the end zone get picked off, and he gives like the shrug move, like, what are we doing out here?
Does he want out?
He's got to get traded now. That's how it works. You got to go. Trouble in paradise there in Kansas City. 803-0550.
He said as they are still 3-0.
Right. And probably have another banner ceremony planned.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at now. He does exactly what you described.
He is open on plays, and he's not getting the ball.
Yep.
Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk with Luke Jones, covers the Ravens, coming up 8:30. Have an open segment for you as well. 803-0550 on WGR.